If you'd like to follow the Bible reading, it can be found on page 911 of the Pew Bibles. It's the Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The lame beggar is healed. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they led daily at the temple, at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your presence, Lord, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. 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 Well, folks, this is actually a true story, okay? A true story, but it doesn't involve anyone in this church. But it involves a young man who walks into a church because he fancies someone in a choir of that church. And he's never been into church in his entire life, okay? And he sneaks in, but he's quite a confident young man, so he wants to pretend that he goes to church all the time. So when he walks in through the door, he shakes the church warden's hands very familiar way, makes them feel like they have forgotten him, but he knows them really well. "Oh, it's great to see you." And he walks in and he sits down with utter confidence so that people believe that he belongs here and isn't just a wee scamp who's crept in to see a girl in the choir he fancies. And he's sitting there with such confidence that the warden, who he's pretended to know, is sure that he does go to the church really regularly. So he comes over to him and he says, "Oh, would you mind doing the reading? Because our reader hasn't turned up today." And the fella, not wanting to show up that he never actually does go to church, says, "Oh, absolutely. I would be glad to do that. I read regularly." Okay. And he gets up to read. And he looks at the passage just as he reads it for the first time at the microphone. And it says from John's Gospel, "Anyone who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit." And he suddenly realizes, "Oh, I'm the thief. I'm the bandit. I've crept in here and I don't belong." And he was thunderstruck at that moment. He thought God was speaking right to him. Pretending to be a Bible reader when he'd only come to meet a girl. And he forced himself to go on with the reading, although his heart was beating really loudly. He was a bandit coming in under false pretenses. What was the alternative? And then he read from Jesus' words, "I am the gate for the sheep. The bandit comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they might have life and have it to overflowing." And suddenly, the Holy Spirit does something in this young man's heart and speaks to him in a powerful way, in such a way that he stops thinking about the girl and he stops thinking about the congregation and stops thinking about the fact that he's just done this ridiculous and hypocritical thing, and he starts to think about Jesus. And unaware of the shock that he was causing in that moment, he swung around from the Bible reading and said to the clergyman, "Is this stuff really true? Did he really come so that we could have life and have it more abundantly?" And the clergyman smiled and said, "Of course it is. That's why we're all here. Come and join in the next song and see what happens if you really mean it." And the young man, as they sang the next song, felt himself swept off his feet by the presence and love of Jesus, filling him, changing him, calling him. And like a grateful sheep after the shepherd, he gave his life to the Lord. And I just think that's a great story because it shows us that with God, we nearly always get more than we bargain for. This guy just came in hoping for a date with a girl in the choir, and he came out with a date for eternity. He came out with a friend that will neither leave him nor forsake him. And that tunes in with my story. I only went to a camp in Wicklow because I fancied a girl, and I ended up meeting the Lord and then found a much prettier girl as a result. But you know, it's so true. There are, I believe, a whole community of people, communities of people out there who have needs. And we've already heard in our prayers that there's a profound need within our community after the weekend we've just had. A profound need. There's been many tears even shed at the side of the road outside the shop there in Marlin. Many tears even yesterday. And there's a profound need. And that need mightn't be described as a need for Jesus, but I believe that there is a need for Jesus to break into that situation in a powerful way, and that's why it's so important that Carlton prayed there. And our senior citizens' lunch tunes into the fact that there are lonely people within our community who need friendship, but I believe that there's actually more and a deeper need there, that there's many people in our community that feel lonely that need the Lord to break into their lives. And our story today, this true story from Acts chapter 3, is of a man that just wanted a few coins thrown into his wee bucket, and he got so much more than he bargained for. Now, I always promise this, but I think this is going to be a short sermon, all right? And all I want to talk to you about this morning are the eyes and the lips. The eyes and the lips. I've got a wee slide. If Ross would stick it up for me there. Just the eyes and the lips. First of all, the eyes. You see, the story that we heard read to us, and especially as moves on a little bit further into the text, is obsessed with seeing, obsessed with looking. And there's lots of this in the passage. We hear that there's this man who's lame from birth, laid beside this gate called Beautiful. And verse 3 says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. So he saw Peter and John, but then Peter and John, or Peter specifically, directed his gaze at him and said, "Look at us." So it's funny, isn't it? The man could see them, but Peter and John said to him, "Look at us." See, there's a difference between seeing and seeing. There's a difference between seeing something and really, really seeing it. And then Peter and John, we read, stared at the man intently. And I wonder, is that something that you do? Jesus does this. There's the story of the rich young ruler. This man comes to Jesus, and it says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. I wonder, do you really look at people in the way that Jesus looks at them? I wonder, does your heart really break when you see a broken person, when you look right into their lives? Well, for Peter and John here, they could really see this man. Really see him. And then they said, "Look at us," Peter and John said. And I think this is just a fascinating phrase when they say, look at us. Because it's very dangerous for the church to say to the world, look at us, unless we've got something to give them. What do we say to broken people in our community after the weekend? What do we say to them? How can we say to them, look at us? See, Peter and John had something to give. What about us? Do we have something to give? Do we have something to give this world? I love the story. We mention C.S. Lewis all the time, but I love the story of the Chronicles of Narnia. And in the Chronicles of Narnia, early on in the books, a young man called Diggory comes to this lion called Aslan, this representation of the father. And he asks him for something. He asks him for something from Narnia. It's a fruit of this tree called the Tree of Protection, the silver tree. And he asks him, because he knows that that tree has healing properties. He says to him, can I have an apple from that tree and bring it back to the world, through the wardrobe and out into the world, that I could give it to my mother? Because his mother was sick and dying. And Aslan allowed him to take something from Narnia and bring it back to heal his mother. Well, folks, that is what we do when we say to the world, look at me. What we're saying is, we have stuff, we have resources, we have access to the things of heaven, that we can bring something of heaven to you. That's what we pray when we say, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that doesn't mean that as the church we have magical fruit that we can just pull out at a moment and we can solve everybody's problems. But it does mean that the Christian person has resources from heaven to bless the world with. And you know what? You wouldn't dare say, look at me, if you didn't. So Peter, he says, look at me. And he brings healing to this man through the power of God. But later on in the passage, what I love is that when Peter and John have to answer for what they've done in front of all the people, they say, don't look at us. Verse 16, they say, look at Jesus, because it is through faith in Jesus that this man has been made perfectly healed. See, they look at the man, then they say, look at us, we've got stuff from heaven. And then they say, now look at Jesus. He's the one that's done the work. So the eyes are really important. But secondly, the lips are really, really important. Because I want you to imagine if it had been Jesus that had come across this man lame from birth. I wonder what Jesus would have said to this man. I think he would have said, stand up and walk. I think he would have said that. But you see, the rest of us that follow Jesus, we don't say that. We say, as we read in verse 6, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, resources from heaven, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, Peter evoked the name of Jesus. And I love that. That's what we have from heaven. That's what's distinctive about us. We have the name of Jesus. And we sang at the beginning of our service, what a beautiful name it is. That's what makes us distinctive. Sometimes we get the idea that we have resources, that we're a rich church that can do this, or we have, you know, people that are middle class and upper class or whatever, and we've got resources that we can do things, and we can run lunches, and we can, you know, have ministries and all of that. But what makes us distinctive above all of it is that we have the name of Jesus. That's what makes us distinctive. That's what's powerful about us. It's not riches or power, but his name. And these guys are at pains to say this in verse 6. What I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Verse 16 again. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health. That's what we have, his name. I love a story that involves a Catholic theologian and involves the Pope. The Catholic theologian is called Thomas Aquinas. And Thomas Aquinas enters in once to the presence of Innocent II, the Pope. And before the Pope at that time was a large amount of money on the table. And the Pope was actually counting this money, as the story goes. And the Pope said to Thomas Aquinas, he said, "Look, Thomas, the church is no longer in an age where she can say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" And Aquinas replied, "That's true, Holy Father, but neither can she say in this age to the lame, 'Rise up and walk.'" See, it's great to have resources, isn't it? But resources are nothing to a lame man born lame. What's powerful to him is the name of Jesus. You know, folks, today I have a sense of this, that we need to be possessed once again by the power of his name. We need to realize that the most beautiful thing we can utter in the universe, the most beautiful word in our whole language, is the name of Jesus. I was listening to a song, I've already got it posted on Facebook, and it says, "At the mention of his name, every chain will break." We've sung old songs that say, "At his name, the demons flee and captives are freed." His name, folks, is beautiful, but it's also powerful. And all we have to offer this world when we say, "Look at me," is his name. That's all we have to offer. I love what a former Bishop of Durham, writes a lot of books, Tom Wright, says, and this, it's got it on the screen for you if we just move on to the next slide, please, Ross. I just love this. Just mention his name and new things will happen. This is as true now as it ever was. I'm sure we've all had a situation where somebody said to us, "Just mention my name and they'll let you in." When we went to buy a car on the North Coast, myself and Zara, we met a guy from Monaghan, and he said, "Oh, they know me in there. They know me in there. Just mention my name, you'll get a few pound off." I am honestly sure they added a few pound on, genuinely. But we know something about this, don't we? You know, my name's got power. Just you mention my name, it's nothing to Jesus' name. It's nothing to what Jesus' name can do. Just mention his name and new things will happen. You know, folks, these villages would be changed if every time we saw pain, we said, "Listen, let me say a word of prayer for you. Jesus' name, heal." These villages would change just with that one wee line if we started using it. It's not magic, but it's evoking the power of his cross, the power of his name. Our villages would be changed if every time we saw somebody in pain, we said, "In Jesus' name, do this." Our villages would be changed. Isn't that incredible? The enemy does not want you to know that there's power in his name. You know, even this week, when you meet somebody who's brokenhearted, and believe me, you'll meet them this week, just do it. You don't have to even know how to pray. You just say, "In Jesus' name, just bless this person." Mention his name, folks, and new things will happen. It's as true now as it was in Acts chapter 3. You know, what I love about that little story about Narnia is Diggory gets this apple, he brings it back to the world. His mum takes a bite, she eats the apple, she's completely healed. Fictional story, but beautiful little picture, isn't it? And this food from heaven that heals her, what they do is they plant it in a garden, just in the real world. And a tree grows, but disappointingly, the tree that bears the fruit of that tree doesn't heal you. Okay, that's disappointing, isn't it? But the incredible, incredible thing is when they eventually cut that tree down, they make a wardrobe. And that wardrobe becomes for the kids in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. You're following me? It becomes a doorway through which they can see Aslan. And you know, folks, you will not this week, every time you evoke the name of Jesus, you will not see cancer taken away every time. You just won't. It's a reality of our world. You will not see people's pain taken away dramatically. But here's what I believe. Every time you mention his name, you open up a door for people to walk into life. You open up a door through which people can meet Aslan. Listen, I pray for 99 out of 100 people are never healed that I pray for. Never come to me for prayer ministry. That's my advice. Go to some of these other people. But every time I pray in the name of Jesus, I open up a door that gives people the opportunity to walk in and meet Aslan. Can I encourage you? His name is powerful. His name is beautiful. His name is awesome. Just the mention of his name. You know, finally, folks, let me just draw this in. This really is it drawn in. You can't believe this is such a short sermon, I know. What happens in this story is there's a lot of looking, then there's the evoking of the most powerful name in the universe. And it says in verse 7, Peter took him by the right hand, raised him up. Immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know, folks, the essence of Christianity is transformation. It's transformation. When there's something incredible happens when the church says that they've got something to offer a broken world. There's something incredible when they say, I can pray for you in the name of Jesus. There's something incredible when the name of Jesus then transforms their life. The lame person is able to walk and run and dance. And when that happens, the world is struck with awe. Do you not want to be part of that? Do you not want to be part of, as it says in Ephesians, waking up, you sleeper, rise from the dead, realize the name that you bear and that you can evoke, then see the world transformed and then see the rest of the world look on in absolute awe. Let's stand together. The team are going to come. I'm going to ruin their day by changing the song. Folks, I really think it's important. How short have I been there? Oh, that is world record. We've still got 9 minutes before I have to go get kids. Brilliant. People that are willing to pray, not special people, but willing people from the prayer ministry team are going to come forward. And just want to make space for people just to receive, spoken over them. It's the quickest prayer imaginable. Okay, prayer ministry team, this isn't a day for 20-minute prayers. This is a day for evoking the name of Jesus over people's lives. Fantastic. Folks, let's just close our eyes. And let's just decide which role we want to be in this morning. With our eyes closed, we can either be in the role where we have pain. It doesn't even have to be our own pain. It could just be pain that we're carrying for other people, even maybe for the community, in a sense. And there's been other bereavements, even in our midst, over the past few days, and there's pain in the room. So if you want to be in that role, nobody wants to be in that role, but if that's you today, if you're a person with pain, just bring it up and trust in the name of Jesus to open up a door to Narnia. Open up an intimacy with Aslan that you really need. Or maybe you're thinking you're in the other role today. You want to be a person that has something from Narnia, something from heaven to bring. You want to step into that role as a person that's got the courage to say, listen, I just want to pray over you in the name of Jesus. Then if you want to come up for courage, you come up as well. But let's show our belief and our faith in the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus. Let's just respond to him in spirit and in truth. I'm going to pray in a second. We're going to then sing "What a Beautiful Name It Is." Is that okay, guys? Visuals, guys, what a beautiful name it is. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being present with us in so many different ways today. As we came up and received bread and wine, you were in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that there's just a guarantee that you're in our lives if we said yes to Jesus, that you're there and you're testifying within us that we're God's child. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we, it says in Ephesians, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We thank you that we have access to the fruit of Narnia, the beautiful gifts from Aslan. We thank you for that. And Lord, this morning, at the mention of his name, the name of Jesus, we pray that chains would be broken, that hearts would be mended, that wounds would be bound at the mention of his name. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill us as we sing. Fill us as we respond in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, I want to just open up. If couples want to come, you're welcome to come with whatever you're carrying. If you want to bring up a little friend with you, you're very welcome. But let's really respond to the Lord Jesus this morning. Let's allow these guys to pray his name over our situations. And let's just see the kingdom come. Amen.